At the Royal Docks access, Oblo and the Royal Security Major waited in unamiable silence. Oblo had a ripening bruise on his forehead, and his hands bore the marks of a good fight. But his expression was that of a large predatory mammal, fully fed and satisfied. Harris spared him only a glance, then met the Major's angry gaze. Before he could say anything, she introduced the station militia captain.
Captain Canabar, investigating the death of Amelie Irulan, a temporary contract crew member.
I suppose you'll want to interview the others.
As a matter of fact, yes.
The Major shrugged and handed over a clip-on pass.
Very well. This is a 48-hour pass. If you need an extension, just give us a call.
How's Sirkin, Oblo?
She caught part of a sonic blast and a couple of knife slashes. I think she's got some broken ribs, but this officer thinks it's just bruising. Some heavy people landed on her, and she's got some hard kicks, one in the head.
Unconsciousness?
Yes, for a bit. But the one that landed on her weighed enough, it could have been that.
Harris thought of all she'd like to ask him, but not in front of Royal Security and station militia officers.
Could I talk to you? Now?
Sure, sir.
Oblo rubbed his hands over his head and tried to look innocent. It didn't work. He had the face and hands of the experienced brawler, and the bruise was like a rose on a rose bush, a fitting decoration.
I'm going to see Sirkin. Oblo, when you've finished here, I'll see you aboard.
Sirkin had been through the diagnostics when Harris got to the clinic. She lay in a bed, in a bright patterned gown Harris thought had been chosen to disguise bloodstains and other marks. Her face looked lopsided. She had swollen bruises down one side, and the other was discolored with the sunburned flush of the sonic pulsar that had burst small blood vessels. That eye, too, was bloodshot. If Harris hadn't seen the medical report, she'd have worried, but the eye had escaped real damage. She looked drowsy and said nothing when Harris came into the room. That would be the concussion the scans had shown. Petrus rose from a chair at the bedside.
Captain, Meharry's gone back to the ship as you asked. Oblo?
He's talking to the militia captain in charge of the investigation. I still haven't heard what happened. Have you?
Sirkin and Irulan were out for a night and took a shortcut through that park. They were jumped by a gang. Oblo and Meharry were following them, but trying to be discreet. They tried to deal quietly with someone who tried to keep them from entering the park, maybe part of the gang. And that took enough time that the row had started when they caught up. Irulan was down, probably dead or dying, and Sirkin was fighting. They both think the gang was trying to capture Sirkin at that point. Someone had cuffs out.
And they brought her out of the park because they weren't sure if more trouble would arrive or who it was. I can understand that. But they should have called the ship at least.
Well, no time, Oblo said. But you know him. He hates to call for help.
True.
Harris looked down at Sirkin. Her expression hadn't changed.
Brigdis, how are you feeling?
Captain? You came.
Yes.
Amelie. She screamed.
I'm sorry, Brigdis.
Is she dead?
Yes. I'm sorry. The sonic pulsar got her at close range. You barely escaped.
She jumped in front of me. She died for me.
Sirkin's body trembled, as if she were trying to cry but was too exhausted. Probably those ribs, Harris thought. They wouldn't want to put her in the regeneration tank for the ribs until her concussion had stabilized.
She was very brave.
It never hurt to praise the dead, and Amelie Irulan could be brave and foolish both. Many people were.
But she had gambled. She got in some trouble. I don't know what. There was this woman.
You don't have to talk now. You're safe here. We'll stay with you, Petrus or I.
But I want to. She died. She saved me. But that woman said, go there.
Harris glanced at Petrus, who shrugged.
Brigdis, you've had a sonic charge to half your face and some blows to the other half. I really think you shouldn't try to talk now. You're not clear-headed.
But I thought she loved me. And then I thought she didn't. And then she died. For me. So she must have
Sirkin's expression was pleading now. Harris wished she was still small and young enough to pick up and hug. That's what she needed. Medicine be damned.
She did love you. I could see that. She loved you enough to try to qualify for deep space work to follow you here. Whatever happened, she did love you. And she proved it at the end.
You sure?
I'm sure. Now you get some sleep. I know you feel sick and hurt all over, but you're alive. And you have friends to help you.
Sirkin closed her eyes. Harris looked at Petrus.
I should go back to the ship and check on Mahari and Oblo. Can you stay with her for now, and I'll be back later?
Of course. If you just speak to the staff here and let them know, they wanted to throw me out earlier.
Right. She shouldn't be alone. And I want to be notified at once if the militia or royal security tries to talk to her.
Shift change chimed as Harris headed for the Sweet Delight. She would be up 3 shifts running, probably, and she hated to admit that it got harder every year. At her former rank in the RSS, she'd have been up for automatic rejuvenation treatment within the next few years, but as a civilian, she'd have to pay for it herself. She wondered if she could afford it. Lady Cecilia claimed not to want rejuvenation. Would she disapprove of her captain taking it? In the access tube, Isagai Gwar waited for her.
Captain Oblo's not back yet, but Mahari's here. How's Brigdis?
She's got reparable physical injuries, but Irulan's death is going to shake her badly. I'm going back there after I debrief Mahari. Any messages?
No, Captain. Not since you've been back to this side of the dock. Station militia called here earlier, and I told them you'd headed for the Captain's Guild, but that was hours ago. Janice is on the bridge, of course.
Let me know, then. I'm going to talk to Mahari, and I may put in a call to Lady Cecilia.